Bibles, the book of Matthew, chapter 8. We'll read just verses 23 through 27 this morning. I meant to have the song book up here. Chapter 8, verse 23 through verse 27. So, verse 23 and following says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was asleep." I think only the Lord and Jonah could have slept through that. Have you ever been in a boat where the swells got pretty high? If you're not accustomed to it, you can very easily get sick. Have anybody ever been seasick? I have too. I have one time in my life been seasick, and it is. I won't gross you out and tell you what happened, okay? But it's not a good feeling. But yes, that could be frightening. Remember, they were not in large cruise vessels, okay? These were boats, fishing boats, that were relatively small. And they did not have the ballasts and everything to control the movement of the ship. They were at the mercy of the sea. And the Lord's down in the somewhere down in this little boat sleeping, and the waves are crashing over, the water's running, the men are scared. They know that in the Sea of Galilee, and I think that's where they were, in the Sea of Galilee, that there have been men lost. So they're afraid. Verse 25. "And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he said unto them, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Folks, there will be storms, but if the Lord is in the boat, it's okay. There will be. There are times in your life you may seem overwhelmed with your particular situation at that particular moment. And these times will come. It may not arrive when you're a teenager, but at some point in your life there will be times that you will feel overwhelmed with what's going on in your life. I've experienced that. And I'm sure many of you have experienced that same thing. So when you just need to tell someone, and it's not something you can just even tell maybe a husband or a wife, but you need to tell someone, the Lord is there. He is always available. And he will listen. There's not a better listener in this world than Jesus Christ. You'll not find a better one. I've tried to be, and maybe I'm not, I hope I am, I've tried to be a good listener. Particularly when people come to with a problem, I try to listen what they're saying so that, because many times problems arise, and more than anything, they don't need answers, they need to talk. Men, we have to be careful. Sometimes our wives just need to talk. And ladies, sometimes your husband just needs to talk. But there are times when that's not convenient nor applicable. There are times I can't tell things to my wife. There are times that I feel overburdened. There are times I just don't feel like I'm capable of what is taking place in my life at that particular moment. And I don't believe this to be a sign of weakness. I believe this to be a sign of I admit that I'm not able to do it. I just can't, either because of my age and my physical ability is just not what it used to be, and my tolerance and my abilities aren't what they used to be. And sometimes I'm just burdened with other people's burdens. And many times I cannot go to my wife about that. I've promised I will not tell anyone. But you know, I can tell the Lord. I can always tell Him because I know He keeps my secrets. And sometimes it just takes sharing what's on your heart, what's in your thoughts. There may be sometimes in your life you have questions that are not answered. I've had those numerous times. And some of them are not answered till this very day. But the Lord does not mind questions, by the way. Did you know that? It doesn't bother Him for you to question Him. It doesn't bother Him for you to question what you read in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, He probably would like you to question that so that you could be instructed by the Holy Spirit. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 3, it says, "And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of Thy coming and the end of the world?" They had a question. They didn't know the answer to this question. You see, how fortunate we are. We are a people that have the finished, the beginning and the end. Whether we grasp it, whether we study it, whether we understand it, that's something else. But we do have the beginning to the end. And we can have many of our questions answered in this wonderful book that God has left us. But sometimes we just don't get it. So if you have unanswered questions, don't be afraid to say, "Lord, I just don't get it. I question this about the Bible. I don't get it." I've done that. My wife, we've oftentimes said, "I don't get this verse," to each other. "Do you get this?" And she would either say yes or no, or we would try to explain it. But sometimes we just didn't get it. There's questions. There's questions about life sometimes we don't understand. The Lord is not immune to that. He doesn't mind you asking Him. You know, when something bad happens, we tend to think, well, we shouldn't question the Lord. Really? Really? Does He really mind if we bring this? I don't understand. I don't understand why this particular thing happened or this is taking place. Does He really mind? Is He so austere that we can't approach Him in those areas? I don't believe that. Do you? I think if you have a question, go to Him. Ask Him, "Lord, if it's Your will, can You explain this to me? Is there anything wrong with doing that?" That's not insulting our God. He knows our limitation. He knows I've got a pea brain that just can't grasp so many spiritual things in my life. Of course, there's people that ask simple things about salvation. And He certainly will answer that one, will He not? About doctrine. Do you know He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." There's nothing wrong with asking, "But what about, I don't get this, Lord. Why?" The lesson we're having on Sunday morning, many, many years ago, I said that, "I don't get this. I don't understand this. This is just so far above me. I can't get it." And I said, "Help me with this. Explain this to me, please." And not exactly those words, but that's what I meant. And over the process of time of my study, I believe the Holy Spirit revealed truth to me. There may be things, for instance, as simple as the area of missions, you just don't get. Sometimes it takes more than one Faith Promise conference to really grasp all the details and how this thing works. Tithing sometimes is very difficult for people. It takes time and thought. And for me, it was simple. I started when I was a little boy. I was instructed in grade, not in grade, but in Sunday school as a little boy. I was instructed. It didn't bother me. I started as a child. Mom and dad, encourage your children to start as children. You give them 50 cents or they earn 50 cents, encourage them to put that nickel in church or more if that's whatever they tend to do. Encourage that. Let them start young, because things you start here develop into wonderful experiences as you grow. The doctrines of the church. I haven't always been right about the church. I was confused. I had to ask, Lord, I need help here. No one can explain it the way the Holy Spirit can. It just doesn't happen. No one can reveal like the Holy Spirit. You can read book after book, and I did. I read a lot of books, pros and cons about what we believe now. But only through the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit was I able to formulate these beliefs and doctrines that I have. Baptism. There's question about that. I have people all the time. I've had, since I've been pastor here, the 2.5 years I've been here, we've had several folks come, and when we discuss this particular point, they would not come back. But that's the reason baptism should be a developed doctrine in a New Testament church. Because if you do it correctly, not everyone's going to agree. It just doesn't work that way. And of course, the Lord's Supper. If we were to go out and publicize our Lord's Supper and put in our, and if we were to put it in the paper, or web, just say we bought a page of the paper and said we're having the Lord's Supper on this particular day that we're having in April, and only church members are invited, the whole community here would be in an uproar. Do you know that when they read that? Well, who do these folks think they are? They think they're the only Christians, only Baptists are going to heaven, and you could just hear the rumble around the city. We're not going to do that, of course, but that's what would happen. So there may be questions about doctrines. There may be, so if I have these questions, and whatever that question might be, it might be something going on in your life right now that has nothing to do with doctrine. There may be, what do I do? Where do I go to get the answer? For young people, you young ladies, young men that are here, there will be the question of the right young man, the right young lady. That will be questions. There is a lot involved in getting the right person. It's not just a simple thing that you just happen to meet the right person and everything works out. There's not this white knight theory that he comes riding up on a white horse, picks you up, young lady, takes you off, and you live in happily ever after. You may live happily ever after, but there are probably going to be some problems along the way. Doesn't work that way. There may be, for a young man, there may be, what about the right woman? These are questions that you as a young person should be asking the Lord. Mom and dad, get involved. If you don't, you're going to lose your children to the devil. Get involved. So, but really, truly, young ladies, David, young man that may be here, Levi, really and truly, and everyone else, whatever your question may be, the answer is always going to be centered around the Word of God, but one verse particularly, to getting your questions answered and help from the Lord. And this verse should be memorized and thought of when you're asking questions. And that is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That should be the forefront, that I am seeking God's will first. I've got these questions, but whatever the answer is, I'll do your will. You'll get the right answer that way. You know, there are folks that are, and certainly my wife and others in our church, because we have this going on, and it's a sad thing for us, but it's not for the Lord. There is sickness. Simon Peter's mother fell sick with a fever, it says, and they had to tell the Lord about it. Do you know why they told the Lord? Because he could deal with it, and they couldn't. And the Lord healed her, and she got up that day and went to work cleaning house. I'm going to have to get my wife over here on the healing part. It's not so much that this is not the illness, this is the age that goes involved here. But I shouldn't make jokes about my wife. I'm sorry. She knows I love her, and we do joke about each other. By the way, if you are ever around our family, we are very sarcastic to each other. Mrs. Hewitt, when we would get in the van sometimes going somewhere, and David, me, and Kayla would start running each other down, she'd say, "You guys, please." But that's kind of the way we are about things. And our family gets involved. We really get, I'm always saying derogatory things to my daughter, Amy, and she comes back with some silly answer, of course. But let's go back to being serious. Sometimes in our illness, the only one that can understand is the Lord. Nobody else is going to get it. You have a particular problem that no one can understand, but the Lord Jesus, he understands. Healing is not always the answer, and please don't think it is, because if you do, you'll be disappointed in the Lord always. It's not always the answer. You don't know how many times we prayed for healing for Linda. Listen, when you look at your wife and her tongue is so big, it looks like a baseball sticking out, and her lips are just so swollen. I mean, she looks like I could take her to the circus and put her in the freak show and make a lot of money. I mean, that's how bad it looked.
I didn't think of that.
I could have been rich. She would have been dead. But anyway, I mean, and I'm being quite serious, actually, but I prayed, "Lord, please heal my wife." That wasn't the answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul went through this. He said, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Do you know what Paul is saying? "Lord, if you get glory out of my illness, bring it on. Bring it on." But you know, Paul didn't quit because he was sick. I mean, his best ministry started after he was ill. And to be quite honest with you, I believe her best ministry started after she was sick. I remember not Detroit, but the little town outside of Detroit, where we had a couple of churches there that supported us, Warren, Michigan. Linda was scheduled to sing that morning. I was going to preach that particular morning, and I don't remember, Brother Hamilton was the preacher's name. And we woke up that morning, Linda's eyes were both swollen shut. And I said, "Well, what are we going to do?" She said, "Well, I don't know." And so she got dressed. I mean, again, swollen shut, looked like I'd beat her half to death that night. And I always had to explain. I didn't do this, because I've had people think I beat my wife up. I didn't. I've never hit her. A few times I wanted to, but I never did. I have never hit her. She's beat me up a few times, but I've never returned the favor. But in any case, she was swollen. So she got up. We got ready. I had to help her. She was blind. The girls were helping and so on. And she was blind, couldn't see. We walked into church leading my wife with these big swollen eyes. And I know when everybody looked, they thought, "Boy, this preacher has really worked over his wife." But I was able to explain that my wife has this disease. She's allergic to her own blood. And so I looked down and said, "Honey, well, what do you think about singing?" She said, "Well, I'll try." And she did. She didn't let her infirmity hold her back, folks. Nor did Paul. You shouldn't. Now, there are infirmities that you cannot control that may hold you back. There may be. I mean, if you get something like MS, obviously you're going to be in a wheelchair. You're going to be limited to what you can do. But you do what you can do. And don't let anybody ever tell you, you determine with the Lord your limits. Don't let your husband, nor your wife, nor your children, nor your pastor tell you your limits. You let the Lord tell you the limits that you have, and He will instruct you correctly. And this is what my wife has learned to do in those areas. So there's sickness, but we should not allow sickness to literally control our lives. That should be the work of the Holy Spirit. And then there's difficult times. You will, I promise you, go through difficult times. That's going to happen. This is a world of this is a difficult place to live, where we live. And as you mature into adulthood, it seems the trials and the tribulations become, you can no longer depend on mom and dad to shelter you. They begin to come and you have to learn how to deal with them. You can tell these things to the Lord. You can take them up with Him. He will help you. He will comfort you. That's what He does. That's what He does best. A lot better than your pastor, a lot better than your husband, than your wife. He can deal and help and comfort you more than you really realize, if you'll allow Him to do that. Mark chapter 6, verse 35 and 36 says, "And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto Him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away.'" He's talking about the multitude. He says, the disciples said, "We haven't got any food for these folks. Send them away. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." They looked at the congregation or the multitude of people as a problem, a difficulty that could not be resolved. But the Lord didn't look at it that way. When we see a problem that maybe just becomes all we can think about. Have you ever had a problem like that? It just consumes your brain. You can't get over it. You can't sleep. This is all you can think about. Have you ever had that kind of problem? I hope so, because I hope I'm not the only one, okay? But it's, and you just think, this can't be resolved. Oh, please. Tell it to the Lord. He can resolve this situation. He is the resolving master. That's what He does. That's what He does. But sometimes that difficulty is just to benefit you or me. That's what it's for. This is all placed there that we might learn to depend on Him. In another place in the Scripture, the Lord says, "How are we going to feed all these people?" to Philip. And Philip sits there with a big question mark. You can just almost see it, this big question mark over his head, scratching his head. "I don't know. If we had 5,000 people here and the Lord said, 'You feed them,' there'd be a question mark on my head." But the Scripture there goes on to say that the Lord already knew what He was going to do. He was just allowing Philip to be proved. Sometimes it's just proving you. Now, does He not already know your reaction? Doesn't He already know how you're going to respond? He does. So obviously it's not for the Lord. So who would that be for? It has to be for us. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee. So they were proved. All the things that happen in the wilderness, and if you're reading your Bible through, you're probably have just covered or are covering some of that right now. It was proving Israel. And the proof was, will you still, here's the proof. And let me read the scripture so we can see it. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So the proof is do I still serve the Lord? Do I still love the Lord? Do I still do what he says? That's the proof. That's not for him. He already knows. That's for you. So, please, everybody's going to go through difficult experiences. I think a lot about David marrying this young lady soon. And I don't think, would you mind if I say what I told you this morning? You don't mind that, do you? I said to David this morning, I said, David, when you and Hannah get married, you're going to come in one of these days and she is going to be upset about something. And you're going to say, what are you upset about? Nothing. She's going to want you to figure that out. You see, men go around with, as I said, this big question mark over their head all the time, especially when they first get married. Because we're stupid, ladies. Unless you write it out, we don't get it. Yes, okay, I knew I was going to get some amens. We're just stupid. We don't get it. But the Lord does. He does. He gets it. And you can tell him, you cannot go to a safer place than to the Lord. You just can't. He listens. He will always listen. And he will help. That's our Lord. You know, you and I can tell him our failures. You know, men are like I said, we're dumb. We really are. But one thing we don't like to be known as is a failure. We just don't like to admit we don't do things right. Young ladies, when you get married, you're going to have those times when you want your husband to figure you out and he's going to just be dumb. But something you can help your husband with is understand when he feels like a failure and help him. My wife has been a tremendous blessing in this area when I felt like I was a failure. Just by encouragement, encouraging me. Men are failures sometimes. We like to boast of our successes, but we keep it quiet about the things that didn't work out right. That's our nature. We don't like to admit, I'm kind of dumb. We are, but we don't like to admit that. Mark chapter 9, verse 28 says, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? They said, we've done it before, but why can't we do it now? They failed. They just miserably failed. And I'll not tell you the whole story. You can go and read about it. But the Lord said, you just had, basically, little faith. That's what it was. There will be times when there's failure in your life, men and women. And sometimes you don't want to admit that. But the Lord already knows it. That's why he's so easy to talk to. Because he already knows what's going on. Before you do something wrong and sin, he's already aware of what's going on. It makes it really easy to say, Lord, forgive me. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'll make the effort never to do this dumb thing again. He understands, men, our failures. And I have some other scripture, but I won't go there. Sometimes we need to tell the Lord about just plain problems in our family. He understands. He's aware. He knows what's going on before it happens. Luke chapter 9, verse 38 through 42 says, "And it came to pass the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child, and lo, his spirit taketh him. And he suddenly cried out, and teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising him hardly, departed from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." And it goes on to tell about this particular problem this man had with his son. And he brought it to the Lord. And the Lord dealt with it. Did he not? Are you familiar with the scripture? He dealt with it. He took care of it. Let me ask you a question. If you have a family problem right now, can the Lord deal with it? Can he deal with it properly? Yes, he can. And he will if you allow him. But when you can't talk to anyone else, talk to him. He'll listen. I promise you, he'll listen. And you'll get some good advice. And I think he'll help. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever had family problems? Well, everybody has. Are you married? Do you have kids? You've had problems. Okay? I mean, that's just the way it works. That's life. What'd you say, sis?
I said, they keep coming.
Even after the kids are gone. Yeah, that's true. They do. That's life. That is life. But the Lord knows. You know, some of our problem is that we don't trust him. You say, oh, I do. Sometimes we don't trust him enough to really give him the problem, though. We try to resolve it all by ourselves, and most of the time what we'll do is make it worse. Now, please don't misunderstand. If there's a problem, it should be dealt with. But maybe it should be that we, careful girls, that we talk to the Lord first, instead of trying to get it all lined up the way we think it ought to go. And then lastly, there's going to come a time that everyone here, unless the Lord comes back first, is going to die. There's coming a time that you and I are going to be bereaved by someone that did die. And these are not easy things to go through. If you've experienced it, you know it. I dreamed last night. I don't know why this dream, but I don't dream often, or at least I don't remember my dreams if I do. But this one I remembered. I believe that I found out I had a really bad stomach ache. Linda fed me corned beef and cabbage, and that's probably what did it. But I dreamed I had probably because my stomach was hurting real bad, I had a terminal illness. And my only thought was about her. That was my thought. What about my wife? What is she going to do? I've got to make sure things are lined up for her, that she'll be taken care of when I'm gone. We're all going to lose moms and dads. Some of us will lose children. I hope you don't. But some will. Some will lose husbands and wives. That's life. And sometimes there's no one to talk to because no one will understand. They can sympathize with you, but they cannot empathize. But the Lord can. And you can tell him. I was talking to my sister the other day, and she said, when I buried my husband, when I buried Eddie, my brother-in-law, we were friends, of course. She said, I thought if another person came and said, I understand, I would scream. because they couldn't understand. And truly, when someone's going through that particular event, even though you may have experienced it, you can have empathy with them, you do not understand that moment in their life. You just don't. And if you talk to someone that's lost a husband or a wife, it's you will not, they do not, you can't understand their particular time in that moment, what's going on in their heart. But what I can promise you is that the Lord does. And you can tell Him. You can tell Him, and He understands. Not only does He have true empathy because of His experiences, but He knows your heart, and He knows your loneliness, and He knows your fear, and He knows the future. So, folks, that old song, Tell It to Jesus. If you read the verses, I'll not read them now, but if you read the verses, many of these verses are, the verses here talk about what I just talked about. And you can tell it to the Lord under whatever circumstance. He will listen. He will understand. Let's pray.